If you love true crime and dark stories, then you'll love our other podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.
He told them that in the year prior to Bundy's move to Utah, she had discovered objects that she couldn't understand in her house and in Bundy's apartment. These items included crutches and a meat cleaver that was never used for cooking.
Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts.
You know, then this guy gets rich and he has some issues with sexual addiction.
Yeah, and control. Yeah. The Keith Raniere story.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and don't miss a single episode.
In some ways, it starts to make things like Jeffrey Dahmer and that look tame, not in terms of the brutality of what they performed, but in terms of the psychology and manipulation of people.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Available wherever you download podcasts. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a listener begins to notice strange bugs around their house. Bugs that shouldn't be there. Bugs that could possibly be paranormal.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Support the show. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. When you sign up to do that, here's what you get. EPP bonus episodes, bonus ones every single week with some of our best ghost stories on. You also get advanced episodes of our show months before the release to the public. No ads in them either. Commercial free ghost stories, all of it. Our whole archive, you get access to 8 years of content, all commercial free, all there for you to binge away upon. Our ebook, our audiobook, those right there. $15 values a piece, so $30 value if you're going to get it through Audible or Amazon or whatnot. You get all that. It's all there for you when you become a supporter of our program at only $5 a month. It's like the cost of a cup of coffee, and you literally get the world's largest archive of ghost stories, audio archive of ghost stories ever created for $5 a month. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get all of that. And yes, I'm officially calling it that now, the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, because I've done a little research and I'm pretty confident in saying that.
I don't know who else would have more.
There's other ghost podcasts out right there, and they're a lot of good people, and I'm friends with many of them, but I think we have the largest audible archive of it over the years, just in sheer volume.
Most podcasts will do one episode a week.
Yeah.
And then the bonus episode.
Yeah. If that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so you have many shows that are, that they've been around longer than us in terms of years, but we've made up for it in content over the last 8 years, doing at some points 7 days a week, 5 days a week, 4 days a week, 5 days a week. We've kind of varied it over the years, but we now put out about 5 hours a week of content over the last. So there's, I don't think there's any other larger audio archive of ghost stories other than our program, which is kind of neat. But I mean, it wouldn't be possible without you guys. So if you got a ghost story, add it to our archive, become part of this thing, and call in at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. I know you had something kind of weird going on with a murder shed and your cat.
Yeah. Well, my murder she shed.
Murder she shed, yes.
Because it's funny, because like, so this episode will air sometime in the future. I never know exactly when.
Yeah.
But if you are, sometimes they are aired sooner, then you get access to it sooner.
Yeah.
So it's funny. I never know quite when to say, like, this happened how many weeks ago. I don't know. But
well, I can define it quickly. EPPs will get this week in January. Okay. But the regular airing of this is going to be February 23rd.
Okay. So If you're hearing this February 23rd, scroll back on my Instagram page, Carol Hughes, at Carol Hughes. So the other day, my cat likes to go outside, but I am that kind of cat mom that I can't let her just go out on her own because I'm just afraid that something will happen to her and then I have to live with it. So her whole, like, knowledge of going outside is I follow her around the yard. And I have a big backyard. So she loves it. I follow her around the yard. And yesterday, she goes on her own into the murder she shed. So I'm like talking to my sister on the phone. I'm like, oh my God, my cat just walked into my murder shed. And so I'm like, excuse me, I'm going to put you on speakerphone so I can take a picture of this. So I take a picture of her and I come back in later and I go to post it on Instagram. And I did post it. And I'm like, hey, Rizzo is, that's my cat's name. Rizzo is exploring the murder shed. Whatever. And then I'm like, what's in front of her in that picture? It looks like there's something written in the cement. Mm-hmm. So I get up and I go outside and I take a picture of it. And it's like 1984, Curtis Kendra. And okay, so, and you can even see in the picture, like it's by a stack of wood for my fire pit.
Mm-hmm.
Like I carried all that wood. There's a lot of it that you can't see in the picture, but because my neighbor chopped down two very large trees, I have all this wood that I put in the murder shed and I have walked on that and I never saw it until I go to post a picture of my cat. And I'm like, what does it say in my murder shed? And it's Curtis and Kendra, 1984. Isn't that weird?
You know what it reminds me
of? Like, I swear, every time I go in that shed, I see something. The crutches are still there. I looked.
Jack and Diane.
Curtis. Kendra. Kendra.
It's 1983. Totally Jack and Diane. Curtis and Kendra, you know.
I just thought that's so weird. Like, especially the day, if nothing else, the day that I hauled probably from the front of my house to the back of my yard, it's a ways. I have I live on a pretty big lot.
Yeah.
And I probably hauled 8 to 10 armloads of wood and put it in there right there.
It's so funny. You've never noticed that.
Do I just not see shit? Like, what's the matter? Like, how did I have crutches in there and never see them? And how did this happen and I never saw it? It's just weird. I don't know that it made it feel creepy to me or anything, but like, how did I not know people's names were right there?
I'm just Googling Curtis Kendra murder Wichita and seeing if anything comes up.
1984.
Dateline report to focus on up. No, I'm not. Oh, no, no. Everything has like, no, nothing's matching up. Sorry.
Okay. Thank God. But go to my Instagram page and you can see my murder. Because I only took the picture because my cat was in the murder shed. And you can see.
Oh, wait, here we go. Here we go. Curtis Lattimore, Kendra Williams found beaten to death inside their shed in the backyard.
Of Carol's future.
With a hook. Man with hook and peg leg. He's being done by Captain Morgan.
It was interesting because his crutches were never found.
Parrot peck marks in the eyeballs of the deceased. No, it's.
When you first started doing that, I'm like, holy shit, did he just find I don't want to know.
I got you for 2 seconds. That's good.
About that long, actually. But 2 seconds seems like forever when you think someone was murdered in your shed, literally.
Oh, that's good. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first story. Hey, Tony, Carolyn Harper, my name is Abby, and I am from New Brunswick, Canada, and I've been listening to your podcast for about 2 months now, and I'd like to thank you for making my night shifts a little bit easier. Almost all my life, I've been into ghosts since a young age, and I've been watching ghost shows with my grandparents. Watching shows like this is what brought me closer to my nan more than anyone else. We've always been believers. She also was the only one who believed all my own encounters growing up, and I pretty much have her to thank for allowing my sensitivity to the paranormal to grow. My nan calls it the family gift, since my cousin and aunt are also overly sensitive as well. My nan shared her Wiccan beliefs with me, and that is what sparked my interest in witchcraft. Now that you know this background history, I'm going to tell you about the time that I had a dark energy attached to me because I did not take enough caution in my practice of witchcraft. Always cast a circle. One night, I was in my bedroom just chilling like any usual 17-year-old, and I noticed a few small bugs flying around my light. I thought nothing of it, really, and went to bed. Around 2 a.m., I woke up to an even louder buzzing sound. I flipped my light on, and there was a huge swarm of little black bugs around my light and ceiling. Did I mention it was in the middle of December in Canada? My window in my room is also where it's sealed in plastic. And Tony, let me tell you, the energy in that room was draining and dreadful. I decided after standing there frozen to go sleep with my sister. The next morning, I went into my room ready to light my sage and do a cleansing and kill some bugs, but there was not a single bug in sight. No holes in the plastic ceilings, the windows either. I was honestly so shocked and scared. I stopped practicing witchcraft for a few months after this because I was so freaked out and scared. When summer came along, after a long winter, my cousin moved back in with my nan and we started to practice witchcraft together. But this did not stop whatever happened that night for a year. I felt as if my energy were being sucked from me. I also suffered from major mood swings, and I'd always have random bruises and scratches on my legs as well. My health got so bad, I always felt sick. Finally, I had enough. I decided to tell my cousin, who was more experienced than me when it came to witchcraft, about the bugs and how my energy is at an all-time low. That night, as we sat at the table playing Yahtzee, a small black bug fell onto the table. It was the same bug as before, not as much as last time, thankfully. For a week, each night while we sat at the table, the bugs would always come back. One even flew into my cousin's ear. Around this time, I started noticing a black fog in the corner of my eye whenever I was alone. This continued for a month until one night on a full moon, a super moon actually, I did a cleansing bath on myself and my crystals. I also made moon water too. That night I had a dream that I was sitting on a bench with this goddess-like figure. She was very bright and blinding, but also beautiful. She told me that everything was okay now, and that it was finally gone. I woke up crying. It felt as if a huge weight was off my shoulders. This is not the end, though. I checked on my moon water that was placed in my window. I had 3 jars in total. 2 jars were full of crystal clean water, except for one. The water was an apple juice color. The energy the jar gave off was the same as the energy I felt that night with the bugs. I took that jar. I did not take the lid off, but I did seal it with white and black wax with an extraordinarily strong sealing rune. To this day, I have not seen any blacker bugs or that black shadow figure or felt the negative energy. I have, however, had 2 more dreams with the bright goddess's figure in it. One was when I had a surgery done, the one before when I was in a very depressive state. I'm now 20, and this all is happening in the age of 17 to 19. I now work with the goddessness Athena. I believe she was the one who helped me out when I was going through all of that. Anyway, I'd love to hear your thoughts on what happened. I am still figuring it out and researching it for myself. I love your podcast. I also listen to Harper's new podcast as well. Keep up the good work, and thank you for everything you do for the paranormal community. Thoughts on all of that?
Well, I don't know what kind of input I can have because I don't really know about, I'm not really familiar with the practices.
I'm not either.
So that's a little like I have expertise in anything. I have nothing more than your co-host. But
I learned earlier on the last episode that we did that you did tarot cards. I had no idea.
I did. I was into that forever. I was super good at it.
So you have more knowledge on that than I do.
But that's not witchcraft.
It's not. No, but it is more than I know about these sort of things. I wouldn't know how to do tarot cards.
You would. There's books on it.
No, I could figure it out, sure. But you know I don't.
Yeah. Well, that's so weird how you learn new stuff about people all the time.
I know.
But the more you know. My niece wants my deck of tarot cards. And so I'm like, yeah, you can have it until I found it and I got it out. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I kind of liked having them. So I haven't given them to her yet. But it's so what she's talking about is very difficult for me to really comment on because I don't really know.
Yeah.
Like, because she was saying, now I work with a goddess, Athena, or something like that. Yeah. So I don't understand all that.
I don't either.
I do know waking up with bugs flying around your light in the middle of winter, even where I live, and I'm not nowhere near Canada, would be very weird.
Yeah.
And then the fact that, you know, you're feeling drained and all of that, it's almost like you open yourself up to something.
Sure.
That's kind of what it sounds like. And then, I mean, good God, you're playing Yahtzee and bugs are dropping down, which is weird.
Who doesn't have that happen?
Right?
Yahtzee. Like, yeah.
Yahtzee.
The only thing I can identify, I'm not discounting anything they said. I just don't understand that world, and I'm not discounting that world. It's just not familiar to me, so it's hard to say, here's what you should or shouldn't be doing.
There are people listening right now who are like, you guys do blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I just don't. I'm not against it. I just don't know it. I did have a co-host once who was a witch, but that was 20 some years ago in Top 40 radio. We're playing like 50 Cent. And then she went into witchcraft talk. I'm like, well, that's interesting.
I lost my virginity to a warlock. So
There you go. I mean, all these weird connections.
That was a while ago.
Jesus Christ.
I'm going to write
a book someday. It's called My Co-Hosts. the only thing I could identify was what was with the water thing. And I have no idea what moon water is. Sounds interesting. Sounds refreshing. Sounds like a marketable product.
I thought the same thing when she mentioned moon water. I'm like, I love that idea. Yes. I don't know what it is, but
purified by the energies of the moon.
Yeah, like
moon water.
Because it's really cool in my backyard. There's some nights when the moon is really, like right now, you couldn't see to my back fence because it's so dark back there.
Yeah.
But there are nights when the moon is so bright and you can see the entire yard. It's really cool. And I'm guessing that's when you could make the moon water.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with it once I make it.
And it's kind of cool. It's like sun tea, but it's moon water. Kind of cool of an idea. I mean, there's something about it. There's something about being out there. I mean, we're out here in the country now, and I don't have city lights around me because Fayetteville's 8 miles that way. But so all I have is just starlight. And honestly, honest to God, not that long ago, probably like a month ago, first time Harper, I think, has been outside of a city and has just open sky, open pasture to see it. And she walked out with me one night and she was just like, it was a clear night. Oh my God, Dad, I can see all the constellations. And it was as clear as night, you know, on a perfect dark night. No city lights, just everything is clear. And she was just utterly amazed. And so what did we do? We brought technology into the mix and we got an app and then we could hold up to the sky and it showed where all the constellations were. But it really helped her see the constellations and understand them. But she was more amazed by just the starlight and the moonlight and just the purity of it onto the ground and how much it lit up our yard. And it was a really neat thing. So I don't discount it. I don't understand what she's talking about yet with the moon water, but I don't discount it at all because I think there's something to that world.
But it makes me think that, you know, we've talked about it with other people. There's obviously opening yourself up to something dark is pretty universal, you know? So my guess is that happened with her and...
How the one jar of water was all tainted, that's kind of weird. But that was how all my water was growing up. We had a well, and I always had like the glass of water at my bedside. I still do to this day. But when I was a kid, you get your water, and it's clear when you pour it at night. And by the morning, it looks like rust. The whole glass is like...
You're drinking that shit.
I know. That was how I grew up on. I grew up on rusty water. And but it was exactly what she described, where it's like after
obviously
a little while...
whoever dug your well didn't do a good job.
I'm still alive, so I guess that's something. But at some point, I'm sure I'll be filing a lawsuit against somebody that I see an 800 number for on it at 2 a.m. on TBS. If you were the victim
talking
of well water,
that's me.
Well water in Northeast Wisconsin in 1984. you may be qualified for this settlement. Yeah. Like, hey, that's me. Finally. Yes. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online to show your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. My name's Dana, and I've been living in a 7-floor apartment monster building. But me and my fiance, we moved in 2 years ago, and since the beginning, there's been some noticeable interactions with the paranormal. And I called in once before about this, where I had a Jesus statue thrown, and a viewfinder, but there's no way it could have happened, right? So progressively getting worse have been my dreams. And within the last week, my dreams have become so active and very uncomfortable, whether it be like violence or something that just induces anger constantly. And so this has happened, like I said, over the last week. And nothing's changed. There hasn't been any extra stress or anything like that. And last night, something ooky spooky happened. So that morning, I had a particularly rough dream. It was a dream where people were harming pets and animals for joy, right? And that really gets to me, as I assume it does a lot of other people. And so I woke up, I did my deal, went to work, came home, and I was talking to my mom, and I had the distinct sound of 5 taps on my window as if someone were trying to get my attention. And I looked around. I didn't see anybody. I was in the middle of an empty parking lot in my building. It's a back parking lot that nobody uses. And I distinctly heard the knock, 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 but in like a quicker repetition. And it was very deliberate. And it gave me a case of the ooky spookies. And it's been pretty consistent like that. Recently, there've been more things moving, more things going bump in the night. But that one kind of got me. Well, thanks for being amazing. And thank you for all that you do. Bye.
Thanks for sharing your experiences with us. I like the ooky spooky. I haven't heard that. Right. Thoughts?
Well, it's funny because when she's talking about that knock, 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 the other day I was sitting on my sofa having lunch and I heard knock, knock, knock on my front door. And the funny thing is that I defaulted to, is that a ghost or is it a person? It was my neighbor bringing over chicken soup. I don't know how to tell them yet that I'm vegetarian, but I was like, oh my God, thank you so much.
So what did you do with the soup?
What?
What did you do with the soup?
It's in my refrigerator. I don't know what to do with it. And then I also don't want them to see me throwing it out.
Yeah.
So it's like, I got to wait till I have full trash and I can put it in there. But.
Well, you have friends that aren't vegetarian, right? I mean, that are living there. I mean, I know I'm not, but.
What?
Is everybody a vegetarian that's your friend? Can you give the soup to a friend?
No, it's my neighbor. And like, I don't want to go. So I would normally give it to my mom.
You don't
want to
see the
soup.
You don't want the soup leaving your house. You want to like be spotted. Sneaking
exactly.
The soup out. I see.
Right?
Okay.
I don't want to like where he might just be walking out of his house and I awkwardly I'm taking the soup to my mother.
You don't want to be a soup sneaker. I understand.
I was going to just put it in my trash first. But anyway, that's funny because, you know, that's such a distinct sound when someone knock, 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 knock and it gets your attention. It's like, oh. And so that's a really spooky thing. When it's not your neighbor at the door, there's nobody there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid and we lived in that haunted house and and the neighbors, my best friend, they would jump up on one side of the porch and run across the porch and knock on the front door. And that's what happened. But it was dark. It was really weird because we were kids and they didn't come over after dark. Mm-hmm. And so I went over to the door thinking it was her, and there was nobody there. And it was like, okay, somebody just ran across the porch and knocked on the door, and mm-hmm. now they're not there. So I don't know. And sometimes those ooky spooky dreams, did I say it right?
Yeah, spooky, ooky spooky. Yes, I like that. That was cute.
Not knowing if she takes melatonin or something like that at night, but I thought I would try melatonin once to help me sleep.
Yeah.
And it gave me really vivid, horrible dreams.
Really?
So I don't do melatonin anymore.
I do.
For that reason. And it might have just been I was having vivid, horrible dreams anyway. But I was like, I will just not sleep at night before I go through that shit. Because they're really bad dreams. So sometimes it can be something that you've ate, you know. So look at that first.
Sure.
But those vivid dreams, I think there can be something to them.
No, I completely agree. I love the melatonin, but it honestly doesn't do a whole hell of a lot for me anymore. I take melatonin, and what's the other one I take? I literally pulled up the Walmart app so I can look at my prescriptions to tell you what the hell it is I take. What is it? Trazodone is the one I do at night for sleep. And that, I don't know. I still wake up. I've yet to find a sleep medicine that I really like. And I don't want anything addictive or anything like that. So I'm always really picky on those sort of things.
Benadryl.
But, yeah. I don't know. Like,
gives you that weird Benadryl hangover though. Anyway,
I go from, I can fall asleep easily and then sleep soundly, or it's, I can't fall asleep easily, but then when I finally do, I sleep soundly. It's like, it's never just the balance of the two unless I'm in a haunted hotel. And I'm honest to God, I'm not just saying that because this is the show, but that's the only time I'm like, I'm good is the haunted hotel thing. That's the best sleep of my life is the haunted hotels. But yeah, I just kind of, I go back and forth with that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hi, Tony, Jenny, and Carol. I am from Pittsburgh, PA, and this is my ghost story. Well, when my husband and I first met, we lived in a haunted Civil War house. How do I know this? Because literally the house was split into two apartments. One couple had the front section and my husband and I had the back section. We had just adopted our boxer, Bree, and she would randomly bark at things. And one day I think they had to check something down in the basement. Well, underneath where our bed was the basement. And it was basically you lifted up a section of wood and there were stairs down there. Well, the landlord decided to tell me then that there were actually chains still in the wall from where they kept runaway slaves. And I was like, yeah, you know, what else am I supposed to say except, hey, this is the Civil War house. So one night, my husband and I, we were home alone doing our thing or what have you, and the couple in the front of the house weren't home at all. And it was pretty quiet, you know, we're back in the back, and nothing really going on or whatever. We hear the chains rattle. I looked at my husband, I looked at Bree, and I'm like, did she move? He's like, no. Well, we were in the living room, and I said, why don't you go into the bedroom and check it out? And of course, like most wives, you're like, you go first. He's like, no, you go first. So I went in, with him pushing me, and our bed, which was laying on top of the, piece of wood to go down into the basement, was actually moved. So, none of us were in there. Our dog was with us in the living room, and that pretty much it. I know that sounds silly, but that is one of the many ghost stories that I have because I grew up near Gettysburg, PA. Thanks, guys, for all you do and your wonderful show. All right.
Thanks for sharing your experiences with us. Lots of stuff out there, obviously.
So I'm not clear on how that all went down. Mm-hmm. So you lift up the flooring and there's stairs, and that was underneath their bed area?
From what I understand.
And then when she went into the bedroom, that the bed was moved?
I'm not completely clear on it either. Something was revealed
but
that they didn't otherwise
know. But something was different when they walked in the room.
Yeah, yeah.
What the hell? Like, I would have, like, I don't even have words. I wouldn't even be comfortable once I found out that the floor lifts up to basically a cellar and there are chains on the wall and they had people chained up to those chains.
It's not exactly
like,
the type
of... How could you ever sleep at night when somebody tells you that?
Like, oh, let's cuddle up and listen to some light rock and fall asleep. As we know, right below us, there was people that were once chained up, probably.
Yeah, like you can't just Netflix and chill ever in your house. Like,
okay, Netflix and chill. Are you using the term correctly? Because I am like, I still have to like learn what this term even means.
Netflix. It means that you're just watching Netflix and you're just not doing anything.
It is not what that means.
What? You think it's like code for having sex?
It is. Netflix and chill, Wikipedia, is an internet slang term or euphemism for sexual activity, either as part of a romantic relationship
man.
Or as casual sex or as a groupie invitation.
Shit.
Since its first recorded non-sexual use of the tweet post in 2009, the phrase has gained popularity within Twitter community and other social media sites like Facebook and Vine. By 2015, Netflix and chill has become an internet meme and used on the teenage social media was commonly described as sexual by Fusion. So there you go.
Oh my God. So it's not like something I say very often.
No, and you just
but
used
there
it incorrectly.
People who are like, Carol is getting it on. Like, there she goes again. And then all that I really meant was I just had no life.
You meant you were binging on making a murderer. And people thought you were, like, whoring it out.
Okay, so in their case, same thing. Like, so they're having sex on their bed. And they're, like, they're having sex. And there's this staircase to, like, that underneath them.
Yeah.
That's creepy.
Little odd, little weird when you find the remnants of people that had once been restrained to the walls. It's hard to be comfortable in those situations. I actually have a story relating to that, believe it or not. It was in Traverse City, Michigan. There's a restaurant that is in an old asylum. It's now called Traverse City Commons. It used to be the... I think Traverse City State Hospital or something of that nature, what it was called. But it's a huge complex of these Gothic style buildings that was once the Northern Michigan area, kind of central insane asylum, as it would have been called in its day. And these buildings are massive. And there's still several of them, almost all of them are still standing, quite honestly. A couple of them have now been converted into artisan shops and bakeries and restaurants and there's also like assisted living facilities there as well, I believe, and retirement facilities and all that. So bravo to them for keeping the buildings alive and doing something with them. But the first time I went there was 2005-06. It was right before I went to Wichita, right before I met you, like 2 weeks I think before I got to the station. And I had dinner with my sales manager there, and it had not yet been turned into any of these things other than a restaurant in the basement of one of these buildings. So he's like, it's really cool, it's creepy, you'll love it, here's the address. So I Garmin it, because that's what you did back then, and I found the place, and all the windows are broken out of this giant facility. The only lights are coming from the basement. And I'm on this campus of abandoned asylums. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Giant trees everywhere. It was out of a horror movie. Park my car, get in to the building downstairs where the lights are coming from. And it's like this 5-star restaurant. And it's beautiful. And the food is amazing. But on the wall where the table is, we're sitting against the window that's barred. And on the wall is a metal plate with two chain circles, like the hooks that a chain would attach to. And you're literally sitting in what was the remnants of someone's room, or in reality, cell. And the uncomfortable feeling in that restaurant was just impalpable. It was insane. It was so dark and weird. It just the weirdest sensation I ever had. Went back there 2-3 years ago. They've removed the hooks from the wall. The buildings are much more upkept now. The broken windows are gone. There's shops and things and everything. It's not as dark as it did once feel, but oh my goodness, that was a bizarre experience.
I'm looking at pictures of that place. It looks amazing.
It is amazing. It is totally amazing. And the couple of those places you can go into and walk around, but then there's like 20 so buildings just like that all around. You can walk
to. It's massive.
Yeah, look, on my Facebook page from about 1 or 2 years ago when I went up to Mackinac Island and everything, I have a ton of pictures I took of some of the abandoned buildings. I just walked around after dinner and just took pictures of these abandoned asylums all around this place I had dinner at. And it was just so neat. But they're slowly trying to refurbish the buildings or recoup, whatever you want to call it. But there's a lot of, I'm not a big sensitive person, but there's a lot of energy there that's just weird. And I don't know what is the answer to that when you have buildings like that where clearly inhumane behavior took place, but there's these giant buildings that are statues to history. Do you tear them down because of what happened in them? Or do you let them remain standing and try and refurbish them and repurpose them in a positive way to, I don't know, somehow make good or add positivity to a very negative environment?
Like, personally, I think they should keep the buildings, and then, you know, if something really horrible happened there, you could use it as a tool.
Yeah.
To kind of teach about it.
To educate.
And, you know, it's interesting. I mean, this is totally different, but in Chicago, I wanted to do like a gangster kind of weekend, and because I go to Chicago quite a bit. And so we did the bus tour, the gangster, whatever it was, tour, but all of those things are gone. All the places, that, like the Valentine's Day Massacre, it's not there.
Yeah.
Like, they can take you where it happened, but Chicago just wanted to not have anything to do with that gangster history. And so they just eliminated it all.
Yeah.
So now it's like, okay, on this site, this is where this happened. But a lot of that historical stuff that you heard about is not there.
Yeah, the evidence is gone.
Yeah. And so it was kind of disappointing because it's not like I really wanted to see where the Valentine's Day Massacre, like the wall or anything. Yeah. But in a way, I don't know, just for history.
One of my favorite spots to visit in Chicago, and have you been there? The Eastland site? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
You don't know about the Eastland?
No.
Oh, Carol. The Eastland disaster. It was one of the
boat?
Yeah.
I went to where they took off from.
Well, that's where it sank.
Yeah. Okay. It sank right there. And people could see on either side.
Yeah. Cause it started on fire and everybody was ready to board the thing. And they did board the thing, and the thing caught on fire and nobody knew what was going on. Nobody got off. The thing tips over into the river right there. And 844 people died right there in the middle of Chicago. And it was just this horror. It was like the worst shipwreck at the time. Then Titanic happened. And so that beat that. But up until that, it was one of the worst. Titanic was before it. This was the worst one inland in the U.S. at that time.
And I went to that site on a haunted tour.
Okay.
Which is kind of cool.
I went there by accident. I was just down there one night and we were drinking and going from place to place, and we're reading, oh shit, this is where the Eastland collapsed. It's like, wow, that's neat.
Well, something happened, and everyone went from one side of there's too many people anyway, and they went from one side of the boat to the other, like a wreck of some kind or a fire or something. And so everybody went to go see what it was.
Yeah.
And, but wouldn't that be weird though, if your house had, you just lift the floor up and you go down to something like that?
Yeah.
I don't think I'd ever sleep at night.
I'd be out.
I would just think there'd be all kinds of weird shit. Like, I think you'd be hearing those chains rattle all the time.
And even if you weren't, just knowing that that's there, I couldn't do it. I mean, there's no many coats of paint. There's no redesigning. There's no nothing. I mean, unless
you... 'Cause that's the kind of thing that, like, I get, like, that place in Traverse City, which is super cool, and it's massive, and I get why that's massive, but, like, I just think it would be weird. Let's renovate this and make a duplexes and we'll rent it out.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that people were chained in the basement there. Because now, like, when you hear of people being chained up in houses, it's usually some sexual pervert person and they do destroy the house.
Yeah.
That, I think, is different than destroying a landmark. Like the BTK house here, they destroyed that.
Sure.
And I'm glad they did, because then it just turns into a Gawker Point where people just go by. And so I understand taking certain things down. And I kind of think that house might be better off not being there.
Yeah, I mean, if you subscribe to the idea that there's, you know, the energy makes an imprint on things. Yeah, it's going to be there, whether it's your superstitions or not. I don't think it is a superstition thing. I mean, I think that stuff makes an imprint. And whether it manifests itself in the way of like something really malevolent or just an energy that is just negative, and then kind of, you know, you feed off of it and it hurts you mentally and all that. It doesn't have to be that you're seeing shadow people or this or that. You're just weighing you down and you don't know why. And you leave the environment and it's suddenly gone. That's something. There's something there that's doing that. And I think someone with such negativity that would have done those things, you know, that can stay. And I don't think there's a lot of, you know, necessarily, you know, rejuvenating the place or changing it up. It's a matter of, it's got like a half wipe. It's like nuclear waste. It's like, look, you can't get rid of it. It's just got to kind of take its time to dissipate.
I think I'd have to start looking for a place right away.
Yeah. As difficult as it could be, I don't think I could stay in a place like that. Anyway, thanks for that story. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, become an extra podcast person. EPP, sign up at ghostpodcast.com. Patreon.com/Real Ghost Stories, the other spot to sign up. And we greatly thank you for your support of the program and keeping us on the air. We could not do it without you. Until next time, for Carol and Harper, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thank you for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.